All right, we are set and ready to go. Give me a minute to get prepared. Let's start with prayer today. Father in heaven, I thank you for a time such as this, where you have allowed the church to remember where they came from. They set aside this day, Lord, to look back at what you have brought us through, and we can see our brothers and sisters who were persecuted for your namesake, and others that have just lived out the faith and their bodies faded, Lord, and you brought them into your presence. Help me today, O Lord, to bring forth the encouraging word that you have for me to talk to with this family at the Disciple Center, Lord. May it be one that would be encouraging, enlightening, and one that would speak to the hearts of these people. And in so doing, Lord, may we act on it. And I thank you again for your blessing of calling me here today to be your servant. And so, Lord, today, may your scriptures speak to us, and may these words of mine that you've put in my heart, my mind, be encouraging to others. In your name, I ask it, Father, through your Son. Amen. All right. Family conversations. I titled that because we're going to have conversations throughout the next year on different topics, different things. Training up the next generation. Quick question before I get into this. How many of you are over 40? Yep. How many of you are over 50? Yep. I'm not quite there. I will be in 6 months. A little over 6 months, right, Kara? And our bodies are tired. Preach it. Yeah, that will preach, that's for sure. We have to train up the next generation. That's our goal, right? It's not just telling them that this is a word, this is what we live by. Training up means more than just that, and we're going to talk about that in a little while. Our families, however, have a history in the world. And most of the time, those stories get elevated and repeated, like mine. The world's ways, right? They get elevated. That continues on for generations to come. Mine also has a story about just that. A man in the world who couldn't get sleep. I can relate to him sometimes because my body just won't let me get some sleep. That man was an outlaw. He actually killed somebody for snoring several nights in a row. But I choose not to focus on those outlawish, those heathen stories, and pass on the good stories that God called my family to Him. Called us out of this evil world to live in such a way that reflects His light. But I remember those stories that I just shared briefly and not share all the details because it reminds me of where I've come from, what my family has been through, and how I'm supposed to be humble before you. Yet we can choose to continue on with our family sins. But if we are called by grace of God, we can choose to move away from that sin into the blessings of the Most High and focus on the God-centered stories of hope, just as we have done today, lighting these votives and remembering the lives of those who've gone before us. Do me a favor, turn over to Ephesians 2. We're going to read through that in just a minute. Today is going to be about how God calls us out of the world into the heavenly kingdom, calls us into fellowship and work of His for the purpose of glorifying and raising up the next generation of workers for Him. Now, this may not be easy for some to hear, but believe me, it will help create ownership and purpose for the kingdom of His while we are living here today at this place called the Disciple Center. I am hoping you will be willing to participate more with the saints here at the DC by the end of our service and build up those treasures in heaven, because what we do here gets stored up there. Amen? Let's get started today. First, let's turn over to Ephesians 2. If you haven't done that, sit back, relax, and just listen, because I'm going to read all the way through it, and then I'm going to make some points. Ephesians 2, the Word of God said, and Paul wrote, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you were formerly walking according to the course of this world, according to the princes of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Messiah. By grace alone, you have been saved. And raised up with him, seated us with him, the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua." That's Jesus Christ. "So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for his good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at the time separate from Messiah. You couldn't come in because he wasn't here yet. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make two into the new humanity, the new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets." So it's not all new. We're still building on that same foundation that the Jews built forth up till that point. "For Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone, in him, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." You see, it's through him that we come together. It's through him that we have access to God the Father. It's through him that we are pulled out of the world. I'm reminded every day how humble it is to be walking with him. I see the lack of hope and understanding in our youth of today. It's a blessing to have been raised in a godly home. We're fellow citizens. It says in verse 19 here, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints." The Catholic Church has made saints to be bigger than what they may need to be. If we're fellow citizens, we're coming alongside those works that they started. We should be doing what Mother Teresa did so long ago and caring and loving those who are outcast in the world. You may not have grown up, and maybe you were an outcast at some point. Maybe not accepted by groups that you wanted to be accepted in. So you got a little glimpse of what that could be like. We need to be that hope for others, and share that faith if you will. We are being built together for one another, for the temple in the Spirit. Just like what that scripture says. We have to come together. We got to love one another. Right here in the Disciple Center. Working together in unity for His kingdom purpose. If you remember, some of you that are older, some of you that are younger, you will experience this as you go away to college. But we used to struggle with our flesh a lot more. And as I grow older, I still struggle at times. There's certain things that Paul talks about, thorns are in his side. But we have to give it to him. As you go away to college, we should be praying for you daily. Because we know that Satan's going to be at work. He's going to be around with his demons, right? And there are those faults. There are those struggles in the flesh. But we need to be open for those phone calls at 2 a.m. in the morning from those who have gone off to college. For those who are struggling and encouraging them in the Lord. So I have an example, if you will, of how my family was brought out of the world. My grandfather, who loved to just travel. He never paid for his travel. He would jump on trains, if you will, and meet the hobos and go from town to town and would go back and forth from Oklahoma to California, where he had set up residence and been working on the farms. But he wanted to go back and visit his brother one time, so he definitely jumped on the train and made his way back there. I'm not encouraging anybody to do that today. It's probably a lot different. But my grandfather got to know the rail system that way. But he met this lovely woman who caught his eye in Oklahoma. And she was wanting to get out of her home. And she was quite young at the time. She was about 16 years of age. And he ended up starting to court her, if you will, or date her. And then he had to come back to California. But somehow he got her out here to California and he married her within a year, I believe it was. And so that's my grandfather Ray and Trobe Lynch. That's part of their story. Now they were starting to raise a family just on a minimum wage. And let me tell you, he was a man that only made minimum wage all his life. And yet he was blessed to be able to give his family and an inheritance of some sorts when he did pass. But he had already had two children whenever he and my grandma Trobe were expecting the third. They went into the delivery room thinking it would just be the same thing again with the third one. And so they give birth to a baby daughter, and she actually was not breathing. My grandma Trobe remembered some prayers. She cried out to the Heavenly Father. And she said, God, if you will just raise this little girl up and breathe breath into her, then I will make sure she's in church every Sunday. God breathed into her breath just like that. And the miracle of calling my grandparents to him happened just like that. That was my mother. So that's the story that I continue to share. And I desire to pass on to my children. And so those are the kind of stories that you want to continue to talk about and share with your children. If you have a story like that, I love to hear those kind of stories. The children are coming back in, the younger ones. And so I asked them to come back. Thank you, Nick, for bringing that back at that time. I have a story about a grandparent that I can't say ever professed faith in Jesus. But I know that his grandparents did. Because he was hurting one day. He had went down a slide that his sister had made all wet. And he went down the slide standing up and broke both of his ankles. Right? But way back then, in the 1930s, 1940s, you didn't take somebody to the doctor. They lived out in the boondocks, if you will, because that wasn't just rare. That's the way most people lived. And so he was crying, and about 10 p.m. that night, he was still hurting, and His grandparents didn't have anything to give him, but they called him into their room where they were laying in bed. And they said, "Son, we don't have anything else to make this feel better, but we can pray for you." And so they prayed for him, and he said it lasted a good 5 to 10 minutes, their prayers and what they did. And he said, within that 10 minutes, Trevor, that pain went away. My grandma said, "Stand up, boy, you're just fine, and go back to bed." And he said, "I stood up, and I went back to bed with no more pain." And I thought, "Grandpa, tell me a little bit more. Grandpa, tell me about those good old days," right? And so he said, "You know, Grandpa never went to church, but he definitely had a faith, and Grandma was always there on Sundays. I wish Grandpa Steve would have been in church, because that impacted my grandfather." He set foot in church when I'd have a play, but he would never go any other time. I know that when he was 80, he had hurt his ankle again. It wasn't fractured this time, but I love when he was in his 80s. He had to go back to the doctor. They said, "We're going to actually do an x-ray." And they did the x-ray, and that doctor said, "Wow, you actually hurt yourself at one point in your life." He said, "That was a pretty bad break." And he goes, "Yep, it was." So he actually had the experience of that healing, I believe, of Jesus Christ when his grandparents prayed for him. And he told me before he passed, "Son, I may not go to church, but I do pray for you every night." And I remember talking with Dr. Stokes shortly after that, which brought me a lot of hope. And he said, "Our God is so merciful. And all you can do is hope for that. But I will not dumb down what our scriptures say for my grandfather. So I hope he's there, but I don't rest assured he's there, because I never saw him proclaim that faith." Okay? So that's what we hope for. We hope our children live out that faith. They can proclaim that faith. They can say, "I follow Yeshua HaMashiach," in what they're doing. And they can store up those treasures in heaven. So we read through Ephesians where we're called as the Gentiles into the faith. No doubt about that. Turn over to 1 Peter 2. We're going to read 1 through 12. I will tell you this too as you turn over there. I was ready to go, and I had left Ephesians out, I turned, and we have to as younger people. We may want you to do the work, but you got to turn to the elders. And I turned to Bruce in text messages for about 5 to 10 minutes that day, and I said, "Hey, 1 Peter, I've read, who's this going to? Is this going to the Gentile? Is this going to the Jew first?" I said, "Because I've read both arguments. And as you read through this, I challenge you, read through this. This can be very confusing on who it's to. It seems like, oh, wow, this is to the Gentile, right?" And Bruce is like, he understood it, and he said, "I think this 1 Peter is mostly to the Jew. And then you see 2 Peter. But as we read these passages of Scripture today, just think about how confusing this could be on who it's to. But I will tell you, Ephesians brings us into it, right? So either way, we have an account here. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 12. "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies..." Didn't they just talk about all those evil deeds and how we need to come out of it? If they're talking about this to the Jew, I'm talking to you. They're brothers. They're talking to each other. And I say that because I've read the prayer books in the Christian faith, and I've read it in the Jewish prayer books, and they're very similar. "Long for the newborn babies, they long for pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is a choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, a stone of a stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a royal nation, right? That's where I was like, okay, definitely to the Jew. A royal nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but you now are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Right there, definitely, amongst the Gentiles. So that in the thing in which they slander you are evil as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. We just lit candles. Our loved ones have gone before us because they believed, they pronounced Jesus as Messiah, and they put forth their faith into action. We have a higher calling. You have a higher calling in this church. The Word of God says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he or she is old, they will not depart from it." It doesn't say, hey, tell your children, this is the word, follow it. It says, train up a child. Are you teaching your children how to do devotions? Are you teaching your children to dive into the scripture? Are you teaching them how to apply it in life situations? A few years ago, I handed out a little thing, if you recall it. Actually, there's more back here. Hold on, I'm going to grab it. If I see it, there it is. Anybody remember these? Legacy. Legacy. Positive legacy. Thank you, Mary. The other one says struggling future. Have you been teaching your kids how to live out the scriptures? I hope that you have been making a positive legacy and teaching them how to apply the scriptures. You see, my grandparents, my dad, if you will, as I lit the candles, they taught me to put the scriptures first. They said, Trevor, not just work, but apply these scriptures to your life. My grandfather became a deacon. My father, who was not his son, but his son-in-law, became a deacon because my grandfather was a deacon. They said, serve the Lord. As Randy's brother said, follow God. You can't be in the faith and follow him without doing. You need to put that faith into action. When you do that, you start getting busy for God. You may struggle with anxiety. You may struggle with depression. But trust me, when you get busy for God, that goes away. That's when our children start to learn, when they see that you're busy for God. My grandfather, my uncles, my aunts, my mom served in the church. Because they served in the church, my sister and one of my cousins and I serve the Lord in the church today. I pastor because they first taught me. Are you leaving that positive legacy? Are you teaching them how to struggle for the future? That's your choice. I got a lot of compliments on that when I brought that up. And now our children are becoming adults. They are going through those stages. I had the kids come back in, the youth come back in, because of this next point. I want you to know, turn over to Numbers 8, 23 through 26. We're going to read it here in a minute. As a therapist, I have had the door shut in my face by the younger kids because at first they liked me and I was there to help their family. But then they started to realize things were changing in their homes when I came. And they didn't like it. They set boundaries with their kids. They needed some sanity, if you will. And some of that can be taught through just somebody coming in and working in that way. And so there is one example. There's a book by Dr. Dobson called Stronger Willed Child. And this child was definitely strong-willed years ago. And they, in that book, it talks about how if parents read it and the child starts to go, huh, that book is causing some changes. Dr. Dobson said that book's ended up in a few toilets, right? In the same way, when I started to show up and things started to change for some families in a positive way, but it wasn't for the kid because they kept getting their way. I had the door shut on my face. The mom obviously came and apologized, and I said, don't worry about it. In probably about 10 more sessions, that kid's going to like me again. It takes time, and it takes hard work. But I believe at the Disciple Center, we have strived to put the Bible first and lived out the scriptures the best way possible. We struggle with it, of course. We are not perfect by any means, but we're moving towards that perfection and following God's will. We have to teach this next generation, which means we are moving in a way away from the world and into the righteous choices of God's scripture. So the next passage will be challenging for some, but hopeful again and encouraging for all as we move towards obedience in Him here at the Disciple Center. I brought in the younger people because I'm going to challenge your families here in a minute. And I want you to know where this is coming from. It's coming from respect and what I want for your futures. That means you guys are going to have to work. And I've enjoyed over the years you guys coming alongside and doing things with me. Remember how we were brought in as Gentiles and had no hope. You know, the interesting thing is you all the young ones, you're brought up in a home that has hope. And again, I mentioned to you guys who were already here, but the younger ones, as you go off to college, you're going to be able to step foot into the world. And you have to make your choice at that point. Are you going to continue in the faith? Or are you going to test some boundaries? God's still there for you, and He's still going to correct you. Watch out, my friends. He is a God of love. But that correction is because of love. Numbers 8, 23 through 26. We've got to put this into practice. Yep. I say this, and I love you guys. But I've had a few different pastors I've known personally who had people serving in their church, and they served until the day that they died, right? The scriptures point out that woman in the temple, really old in those days, and we have people that are willing to serve until the day they die, and we are blessed because of that. But there are instructions for us. And it says in Numbers 8, 23 through 26, now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this is what applies to the Levites. This applies to what we do here. Now the Levites, I want to stop right there. The Levites had a bunch of different jobs. Not everybody went into the temple. Zechariah may have went in just once in his life. But he served. He did things and cleaned and picked up stuff and made sure everything was good to go year after year. He had his jobs. We all have a job to do here. And so, not just the Levites, but This is what applies to those servants of God, you included, myself included, from 25 years old and upward. They shall enter to perform the service of the work of the tent of meeting. We should all be doing stuff here to perform and make things good for us to worship every Sunday. But at the age of 50 years, they shall retire from service in the work and not work anymore. I'm tired. Right? I'm going to keep doing. Bruce is still going to be teaching. But what's it say? They may, however, assist their brothers in the tent of meeting to keep an obligation, but they themselves shall do no heavy lifting. Thus you shall deal with the Levites concerning their obligations. So, can I still be doing stuff? Can I still preach? Can Bruce still preach? Absolutely. We love that. But the heavy lifting, it's got to be done by you. It's got to be done by you, and you, and you, and you, and me. I turned 50 this year. Right? Coming up. I'm still going to be doing some heavy lifting. I think we have retarded our children, if you ask me. I just told Rebecca the other day, we were having a conversation. I said, Mary, the son of the mother of God, Jesus, at the age of 14 to 16, right around that time, gave birth. There's no difference between Rebecca and Mary other than God chose Mary, and Mary had the same flesh that we had. Joseph had the same flesh you have. Right? He did marvelous things for the Lord. You can do marvelous things for the Lord too. So, how old do you think Timothy was when Paul chose to start to mentor him? Do you think he was over the age of 30? Do you think he was under the age of 30? Do you think he was over the age of 20? Under the age of 20. History says that he was right around the late teens to early 20s. Paul was probably in his late 30s to early 40s. There are things that we can all start to do for the Lord right here at this church. And what you do here at this church stores up treasures for you in heaven. How do we overcome the flesh? We overcome the flesh by doing God's work and His services. You either, and I've heard this before, so I'm stealing it from someone, I just don't know who. You either get busy working, or you get busy dying. I love Shawshank Redemption. That's a good movie. Thank you for telling me where it came from. I have chosen, to get busy working and storing up treasures in heaven. And I hope you will join me. So, I want to show you a few pictures. If you will, Randy, put those pictures up that I showed you. Over this time period, this year, I brought in kids. Actually, mine have been brought in over the past few years. There's one of them. Can you go to the next one, this next slide? We brought in others, and we were building the sukkah this year. Keep going. Stop right there. These young men, right? They were helping take it down. Well, guess what? If you can take it down, you can put it back up. Next year, you got a job. We're going to meet. We're going to figure out a time for these young men. I want to stop right here. This is good. I want you to know, though, this isn't going to be easy for some people. It's hard because when you have to give up some of that piece of responsibility that you've done so long, and train others, you got to let go. We've got to be positive. I've already heard negative from some. I don't care. Because I'm leading. We're moving forward. We need this next generation. Okay? So we're moving forward. And what I want to challenge you guys with today, go again, Randy. You see, they're doing a great job. Interesting thing is, I was standing there, and Rebecca said she was out there, her and Ezra were out there watching, and Rebecca said, I enjoyed watching you sit back and let them do the work. Right? She sees that transition. Interesting, Hudson took one screw out, And he goes, this one's kind of smaller than the others, or something happened. And I said, yeah, that's not one that comes out. Put it back in, right? And so they're going to make their mistakes. That's fine. We're going to make our mistakes. Trust me, those who have been doing may have made their mistakes. So we're going to start to transition some of this stuff to you all, and you're going to help us worship every month, every week. Go to the next one. Those two and my little one helped vacuum in here yesterday. Our family's going to take this month. Go to the next one. See, she was vacuuming out there. It took some instruction to get them to do it. Go to the next one. Now, you can't see it. Maybe Randy can make it bigger. But, oh, that's okay. Some of it, right, we realized that some of us like those long strokes. And I like to dance as I do it, right? I'm dancing and I'm vacuuming. And then there's some that do it like this, right? It doesn't matter. They're working and they're doing. And we have to be positive in that piece. We can't be afraid, because these younger ones are getting bigger. They're getting buffer than us, and it's their time to start taking over and doing things. I'm challenging you guys. There is a sheet that I'm going to have out there. I'll also post on Facebook. But our families have to start doing the vacuuming and dumping of the trash every week. I ask you as families to sign up for a month at a time. The Embrys are doing November. Somebody else would sign up for December. I don't care when you do it. I'll have a key for you. You just have to come in here before Sunday. We're going to choose to do it after church on Sundays or at some point. And we're going to vacuum, because guess what? Miss Robin, she doesn't want to, she continues to want to serve, but some of that's heavy lifting. And there's a lot of other stuff. These chairs have to be conditioned. The different things still have to be done, and she's still going to do it. And we're still going to pay them, right? Because they're still doing. But if we can take some of that heavy lifting of vacuuming and dumping those trashes, we're going to do it. And that, my friends, is transitioning our children into acts of service for the Lord too. And so I'm looking. You guys all have busy schedules. I get it. But this has to be done by you guys. And by I say you guys, it has to be done by me too. Single people, if you're not part of a family here at the Disciple Center, join with a family, if you will. I would love for somebody that wanted to come with us in November. If not, then join with another family. Say, hey, I can do December. December's wide open. Or January's wide open. February's wide open. Take a month at a time. That's what I'm wanting you guys to do, is take responsibility. And by taking responsibility, you're going to notice smaller things that happen here. There's messes in the kids' rooms. Your kids may start to we can't make a mess in here. I have to clean it, right? If you are not making your children clean your house at home, shame on you. You all should be cleaning your house, not your mama, right? It's up to you guys to train them up and do these things. Well, it's our job to make sure that they know what happens for it to look so pretty every week. And so I look forward to coming alongside you guys and doing this, because those I've seen, and again, I've heard from other pastors, I didn't finish this, who had somebody doing it up until the week that they passed away, and then all of a sudden they didn't know what to do. Not good. Not a healthy church. This is something that we have to do, and this is where we're moving. And so this is a conversation that I'm hoping, if you have any questions, we can talk about in just a minute. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, you, O Lord, you are the blessing that we all desire. You are the one that has instructed us to take up our own cross and to live for you. And so, Lord, I ask you in this congregation to help us all bear the burden of this congregation. As we come together to worship, Lord, help us to come together and serve you and to serve others. And when we're serving here at the Disciple Center, Lord, whether it's cleaning or to make improvements or whatever it may be here, Lord, may we be doing it in a positive spirit and in one that would honor you and glorify your kingdom in heaven. And in so doing, Lord, may we be united and take purpose, take possession, if you will, of what we are doing as a people gathered together. This I ask through your Son, our Savior. Amen.